John Lyman says fly fishing is the world's oldest sport, going back centuries. But he says it's less about killing fish and more about the connection to nature.
I think Thoreau said it. Some men fish all their lives without knowing it's not the fish they're after.
That's pretty close to the exact quote. Lyman remembers being 10 years old and getting frustrated feeding his entire can of worms to an elusive trout in a Connecticut stream. Everything changed when he borrowed something he had never seen before.
These long, willowy sticks and flies. And I was just entranced. There I am trying to come up with worms. They handed me a piece of leader with an Adams on it and said, tie this on the end of your line and I'll bet you catch that fish. Just be real quiet. Damned if that fish didn't come up and take that fly. Ever since then, it's been like Katie bar the door.
Now retired from building houses and as an education officer for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Lyman jokes he spends 8 hours a day, 10 days a week in his wood shop, incorporating skills from both jobs into making bamboo fly rods. Lyman uses a species of bamboo only found in one area of China.
See all the little black dots? Well, this is a big, heavy cane.
Making a fly rod out of bamboo cane is a long, meticulous process that includes hundreds of steps and 60 hours of work.
Those black dots are the power fibers. They're tubes that run the length of the entire column, and those tubes are like carbon fibers. They give you the power in the rod. They concentrate in Tonkin bamboo out towards the skin, towards the outside of it.
Lyman splits the bamboo cane into very long but very thin three-sided strips, and then he uses a razor-sharp wood planer to trim the strips into a gradual taper. Frequent checking with a micrometer ensures that he's accurate down to 10/1000ths of an inch.
If your taper's not exact, if you aren't holding the plane dead level, then your taper gets skewed one side or the other, and it doesn't give you the same degree of power in the rod. Things get twisted and the cast won't go right.
The tapered strips are glued together and wrapped and hung in his own fabricated dryer and dehumidifier for at least a month. Then he'll paint and varnish and hang again before dressing with silk thread and exotic wood for the real seat, like bloodwood or 2,500-year-old English yew struck by lightning.
That's one of the reasons why it takes 6 months to build a rod. Not only do you have all the labor, but the adhesives have to dry. The varnish has to dry for 3 months before you move or wiggle the rod. Just takes a long time.
The end result is a strong and flexible rod that is better and more responsive than mass-produced fiberglass or graphite rods.
Have to be real gentle with it.
Lyman adds a distinctive touch by reworking sterling silver spoons with unique designs that he's scrounged from antique stores and pawn shops.
So now I've got a buffalo on the end of my reel cup, repurposing old silver that everybody says is junk. Isn't he beautiful?
Yeah.
He's just a gorgeous buffalo.
After carefully picking out spoon designs that tell a story, the rods become usable art and family heirlooms that can be passed down from generation to generation.
The family, the father, the mother, the children, the grandchildren were all there when they bought that rod, and now that rod is part of their Alaska story. And the entire family for generations into the future will have that rod to remind them of this time. And that's why I do it.
The rod even comes with a warranty.
I offer a lifetime guarantee, my lifetime, not yours.
But Lyman's rods are not cheap. They go for at least $1,200 and up. And he worries the trade war with China will add more to his material expenses. For example, it usually takes months and $600 to get good, matured Tonkin bamboo cane shipped over from China. Now he expects that will double.
And it's going to cost, because this is an agricultural product from China and the tariff is going to hit it.
Lyman has a website and displays his rods in Colorado ski shops or Juneau restaurants, but he really doesn't need marketing to bring in more orders since he can only produce a dozen rods a year.
I still fish several times.
Lyman takes me out to a small lawn adjacent to a busy downtown street. He sidecasts a few times with one of his rods, precisely landing the line at his intended target.
Here, just feel this. Let's put it down a modest amount of line here.
Then Lyman lets me try. There's no comparison to my own mass-produced beginner's rod. The bamboo feels like it wants to work with me. It's light, comfortable, gentle, and forgiving, almost becoming an extension of my own hand and lower arm.
Now, don't be afraid to bend the rod.
Oh, really?
That sucker, you could bend it in half. Hammer it. Don't wave the flag. Bang. Bang. There we go.
For a fleeting instant, as I pull back and watch the line loop above and back behind me, pause for a few beats, and then load the rod and push hard forward on the cast, I was in the moment. And I was already thinking about visiting my favorite stream again, which may be just what Thoreau was trying to say. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.